Dearly beloved, grace and peace to you today from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who comes to us today to breathe new life in us. Antiques Roadshow is one of the longer running shows on public television. Do you know Antiques Roadshow? Any of you tune into that show at least once in a while? It's really, in a day of a reality television, it's really a different kind of reality TV. Instead of unknown people standing up to show off their talents and abilities, they come on Antiques Roadshow to show off their stuff. More accurately, they come to get their stuff appraised. The roadshow, like the name says, moves around the country to different cities, and wherever the roadshow stops, people come with their stuff. Some of it is things they discovered at a sale. Other stuff they bring consists of a family inheritance, an heirloom that has been handed down over generations. Most of the viewing audience tunes in, looks in, wants to be there when at that time when an appraiser stuns a participant by sharing that what this seemingly old and ordinary thing is worth a great deal, great value. One of the biggest surprises on the roadshow happened some years ago in the Twin Cities. A guest brought in a gold watch in its original box. The guest had inherited the watch from his father, who had inherited it from his grandfather. The Patek Philippe watch had been appraised by someone a decade earlier for somewhere around $6,000. And the roadshow appraiser looked at the guest and said, "Oh, he was quite low." Which is that moment in the show when the participants, the viewers and the guest all lean in to hear what the appraiser will say next. The appraiser says, "You could expect to sell this watch at auction for somewhere around $250,000. To which the guest appropriately gasped and shared his disbelief. The rest of the story of the watch, according to the Antiques Roadshow website, is that that appraiser was way low. In fact, that Patek Philippe watch sold at auction in 2016 for $1.5 million, and it is currently listed in value as between $2 and $3 million. Discoveries like that send every viewer into closets and attics and basements looking for something handed down that might have surprising value. Or worse, it leads to your remembering that time you cleaned out the closet or the attic and the basement and took that box of junk to Goodwill, and you wonder what was there and who has it now. Maybe somebody on Antiques Roadshow. So what would you do? What would you do if you suddenly discovered that something you were given proved to be so valuable? Or more to the point, what difference would it make in your daily life if you suddenly realized that you were heir to a fortune? An inheritance like that could mean a certain amount of security, to be sure. You could rest assured that you could live comfortably. You could travel wherever you wanted to. You could always afford premium health care. Such an inheritance would give you added freedom about where you lived and your dwelling place and where or when you worked and where the kids or the grandkids might go to school. How would knowing that you'd received such an inheritance that guarantees your future, impact how you live in the present? That's the question that St. Paul addresses in our lesson today from the middle of the 8th chapter of Romans. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, he writes, are children of God. And Jesus is talking about something similar in his conversation with Nicodemus when he says that we enter the kingdom of God as we become children of God, as we are born anew by water and the Spirit. You did not receive a spirit of slavery, Paul says. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall into fear. You have received a spirit of adoption. So when we say Abba, Father, the way Jesus taught us to address God, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If we are children of God, and between the lines, Paul is saying we are, if we are children of God, that means we are heirs. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, every one of us has inherited something, right? We all are inheritors of some things. Perhaps you are aware of something you've inherited that has significant value. Maybe it's something you already have received and is tucked away somewhere. Or maybe it's something that still belongs to a parent or grandparent that you anticipate will be a part of your inheritance someday. On this Memorial Day weekend, we are reminded that the freedoms we citizens of this country have inherited did not come cheaply. Blood has been spilled, and hundreds of thousands have died, have lost their lives in struggles against those who would deny freedoms to all but a few. We've also inherited, with our citizenship, conflicts and injustices that have yet to be resolved. We've each received some kind of inheritance from our family of origin. Things like the color of our eyes and our stature, but also things like values and priorities. To these more evident, sometimes obvious things, Paul reminds us of our most precious inheritance. Because we have been adopted into the very life of the triune God. We have been made heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That is, we are equal inheritors of everything God passes on to Jesus. We are right there beside Jesus to receive those same gifts. And those gifts are that we are unconditionally loved. Our lives are secure in that love, even in death. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in that love graciously and courageously. This is our inheritance as adopted children of God. When we gather for worship, whether it's digitally via recording, whether it's in the space, it's like a family that it gathers together in a lawyer's office. Remember, I said last week that one of the ways that John describes the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is as an advocate, like a lawyer who serves as an advocate. So it's like we're all gathered together in the advocate's office to hear the reading of the will. And the will tells us, as adopted members of this family, you will receive unconditional love. You will receive security in life and death. You will receive the constant presence of the Helper. This is your inheritance. And this inheritance guarantees us a future, even when, especially when, we cannot imagine how there is anything left in life for us. Several years ago now, Heidi and Rick Solomon flew to Romania to meet and bring home their 8-year-old son, the 8-year-old boy that they were adopting. His name was Daniel. And this story, their story, was told some years ago on the public radio program, This American Life. It turns out to be a public broadcasting day from this pulpit today. Some of you may remember back in the 90s when the Iron Curtain was called them, the communist bloc crumbled. And one of the things that was discovered was the awful conditions of orphanages in Romania, the country of Romania. Rick and Heidi Solomon saw that story and decided to do something about it by adopting one of the boys that had lived his whole life in one of those orphanages. The Solomons soon discovered that until his eighth birthday, adopted son Daniel had never confronted the idea that he had been born. That is, he never thought about the fact that he had parents, biological parents somewhere. Somewhere out there was a mom and dad who could have, had they elected to, provided him with a life other than the one he had endured for 8 years in essentially what was a state-run holding pen. And even though Daniel's parents tried to explain to him the difference between his biological parents and now his adoptive parents, Daniel just couldn't get it. He couldn't wrap his head around it. And once he learned about the idea of parents and what that meant and what that was about and what his biological parents had done to him, he needed to take out his anger on someone. And that someone turned out to be the people closest at hand, his new parents. Daniel, to put it simply, realized he was an orphan. And for a very long time, he could not get past that. He could not get past his abandonment and the resultant years of his suffering. He acted out. He reacted violently. Because he was not wanted, Daniel was compelled to block any form of parental love. What will stop these new parents from abandoning him like his first parents abandoned him? And rather than take that risk, he pushed them away in every way he can, physically and emotionally and mentally, because now he knows, now he realizes how unloved and how unlovable he is. This is sin as our first inheritance, not something we do, but something that we are. This aloneness is something that none of us can finally completely escape under our own power. I think all of us are haunted to a certain degree by that truth. Daniel suffers from an inability to see a life beyond that aloneness, beyond that abandonment. The doctors called it attachment disorder. One day, in a violent rage, Daniel puts a knife to his mother's throat. Daniel pushed the situation as far as it could go. He threatened his new parents' marriage. He put his mother's life at risk. He's jeopardized the existence of the person in the world who loves him most. How can Heidi keep on loving this boy who seems to take pleasure in her pain? She responded in an interview, "Well, I keep loving him. I kept loving him because he was my son. I mean, you have to love him or else. There's no way out of it. It's like if you're lost, you want to keep moving to get to the end place." And every time Daniel attempted to stiff arm his mother's love and affection, it only made her more determined to keep on loving her son. Daniel, no matter how hard he tries, cannot escape his mother's tender care. Heidi embodies what the church calls grace. You cannot stop it, though you will try. And it will let you, but it will never leave you. What a great definition of how so many of us respond to grace. You cannot stop it, though you will try. Most of us do, and it will let you, but it will not leave you. Because you are its adopted child. Daniel ever so slowly responds. He wrestles and wrestles with his mother, but his mother refuses to let go, like the angel who wrestles with Jacob in the book of Genesis. And when Daniel finally realizes that there is nothing he can do to force his way out of this family and this family's love, he surrenders. He surrenders to the steadfastness of their love. This is how it is with your adoption too. You can push back on it. You can walk away from it. You can choose to ignore the holy three in one who will continue to woo you and pull you into the loving community who is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God will never stop putting in front of you your inheritance. You are unconditionally loved. You are held fast in that love, in life and in death. And you are empowered to living out that love, living out of that love. And so let us do so, church, graciously and courageously. Amen.